Hello out there. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education Show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, education enthusiast, thought leader, and the founder of Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC, an education consulting and coaching business. You can connect with me on LinkedIn by putting in Tanisha Langley, Senior Education Consultant, TONITIA. And sometimes not only can you connect with me over there, that's where I will upload some free resources and freebies from the show. So I'm excited to partner with you, dedicated to the heart of our community, which is based on the wonderful foundation of education. I'm the host, but you and the community mean the absolute most. I would love for you to share your suggestions of what you would love to get more information related to K-12 education. So please send me an email at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, you can send me an email with your topics that you would like to have discussed on the show at letstalkk12@gmail.com. As a former classroom teacher and current education consultant and coach, my goal is to use this platform as an unbiased show to educate and provide information as it pertains to educating our future. My partnership with the community of Realizing Your Potential TV Network is to close the gap of the school to prison pipeline with tenacity, grit, and grind, all while putting smiles on our faces and providing hope. Before we get into our topic today of April showers bring new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education, let's get warmed up with the How's Your Brain game to show critical thinking skills, which is an extremely hard skill to facilitate in our K-12 system. So, why did the student bring a ladder to school in April? Because they heard April showers bring new blooms and wanted to rise to the occasion. Da-da-da, I know. So here's a riddle. I start with a challenge, but help you grow. With a little effort, your knowledge will show. April brings me and learning renews. What am I? The answer is fresh ideas in education. So guys, I'm so excited. April is one of my very, very many of, well, one of my very most favorite months of the year outside of Christmas. April is so exciting to me and one of my favorite months for many reasons. Number one, because just like the show's, the episode's title today, which is, April showers bring new blooms in education, but it's also my birthday month. It's my husband's birthday month. It's our wedding anniversary. And it's the change of the seasons. Absent the pollen, by the way, because I am a seasonal person with seasonal allergies. But outside of that, I think that April brings in newness. Yes, of course, it can bring in April showers, but we can also be optimistic about the new blooms it will create. So there you have it. I will tell you, April is one of my most favorite months, not just because I celebrate birthdays with me and my husband and our wedding anniversaries, but because it's such a beautiful time of the year, like kind of right there in the middle of the year. But anyway, let's talk about it. Some of our thought provokers around our episode topic today, April showers bring new blooms. Here's some general metaphorical ones. So what April shower challenges are we currently facing in education? And what new blooms or innovations are emerging as a result? Here's another one. In what ways are we actively cultivating a growth mindset in our students? And how can we ensure those seeds take root? Here's one based around literacy focus ideas. Beyond basic skills, how do we foster a genuine love of reading that blooms into lifelong learning? And here's one that I want you guys to take in and listen. If we could rewrite the narrative of literacy education, what would the next chapter look like? That's a deep one. I like that one. Here's one around personal development and mindset. How do we teach students to embrace challenges as opportunities for personal growth rather than fearing failure? Beyond academics, what skills are essential for students to thrive in an ever-changing world? Here is one, a thought provoker around family engagement. How can schools move beyond traditional parent-teacher conferences to create genuine partnerships with families? How do we bridge the gap between home and school to ensure consistent support for student learning? Here's some around the future of education. What global educational models can we learn from to improve our own system here in our land? What will the new blooms of education look like in the next decade? Guys, that's a lot to unpack, a lot of thought provokers for us to consider. And I think is very prevalent, not just because of the season and the month that we're in for 2025, but it's where we are in our educational landscape. It shouldn't be about just focusing on the April showers, but it should be about focusing on the new blooms. And I am an advocate for being an optimistic educational enthusiast and thought provoker that I just am just that jovial to believe that we can make lemonade out of these lemons. But anyway, I digress. Don't get me going with that. Well, you know, I've done episode after episode after episode of talking about our educational landscape under the new administration that we're in and some of these initiatives and pushbacks and some of the things that have been created, some that have been eliminated, and some they're trying to dismantle. But don't get me going there. Let's keep it lighthearted, okay? What is our show quote of the day as we talk about April showers bring new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education? So here is a quote that is such in alignment with our episode topic today. A flower does not think of competing with the flower next to it. It just blooms. And that is a Zen proverb. Ooh, how nice. How befitting. But anyway, welcome back, everyone, to Let's Talk K-12 Education. It's April 1st, 2025, which means it's Tuesday. And also, apparently, according to my weather app, we're expecting a deluge of, wait for it, educational innovation. Yes, folks, just like those April showers bring forth a sudden, unexpected burst of floral growth, we're here to talk about the new blooms popping up in K-12 education. We know that just like a garden, education needs nurturing, especially in these interesting times. So we're here to discuss real practical strategies that are making a difference for students and families. We'll be talking about literacy programs that are actually working, personal development techniques that go beyond just telling kids to try harder, and family engagement strategies that don't involve sending out endless emails that nobody reads. Okay, we're just being honest. So forget the rain boots and grab a cup of coffee or your favorite evening beverage, because we're about to plant some seeds of knowledge that will hopefully bloom into real progress. And don't worry, even though it's April Fool's, we're not fooling around about the importance of these topics. So let's get started. Welcome, 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 educators, leaders, and passionate advocates for K-12. You've tuned into Let's Talk K-12 Education, where we dive deep into the heart of what matters most in our schools. Today is April showers bring new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education. April showers bring new blooms, challenges in literacy, personal development, and family engagement can lead to growth when met with fresh, innovative strategies. This episode will explore how schools, educators, and families can cultivate success in these areas, featuring practical ideas and inspiring stories. So, we've talked about April showers. Now, let's talk about the seeds of growth in literacy and development. So April showers challenges lead to new blooms, which are some of our solutions. So an example of that could be how a struggling third grader who, through targeted intervention and family support, made a remarkable turnaround in just 1 year. And I can also add to that because, again, as a remediation specialist, interventionist, or which I consider myself a reading coach, going into these schools and seeing the light bulbs turn on and kids with these fresh perspectives as it pertains to reading just keeps you going even when it's so difficult. So that is also important, is bringing them into the process and not just having them sit on the sidelines while you do all the coaching, while you do all the telling, while you do all the directing. They have to take a part in that, okay? So here's some engagement that I have for you guys. And it's a poll. It's no right or wrong answer, but it is just to get you to thinking, and where do you stand in this? So in your opinion, what's the biggest challenge in literacy today? And I have a couple of different choices that I want you to reflect on and think about. And just in your mind, or if you want to head on over to join me, connect with me on LinkedIn, here's something I want you to think about. Is it A, lack of foundational skills? B, limited access to books and resources? C, struggling parental involvement? Or D, student motivation? All those are pretty good. And I guess it's going to depend on your perspective, your lived experiences, what you see in your communities, what you're dealing with in your own homes and in your own family. So answering that truthfully could come from a lot of different lived experiences. So here's a social media hashtag that I want you to consider using. Hashtag Blooming Literacy. So you can share your strategies, books, or success stories related to literacy. So what do we have? What are some fresh ideas we have in literacy instruction? Planted the seeds of reading success. So here's some new and effective literacy strategies. The science of reading. I know you, if you may have heard of that in your schools or from your children, grandchildren, godchildren, science of reading is based upon phonemic awareness. Structured literacy and decodable books are transforming early reading instruction. So I can say, even though as a reading interventionist, I'm more so the coach, the reading coach that's going to teach closed reading strategies, those personal development skills that they need in order to grow as scholars and as reading scholars. I can tell you the basis of why some of our learners or we have these struggling readers is because of those core basic reading skills like phonemic awareness, learning how to decode words, word attack skills. But I digress because I could go probably for the next couple of minutes we have in this episode to talk about that. It just makes me that much excited. So an example of this particular one is a North Carolina district implemented daily structured literacy routines and saw a 20% increase in third grade reading proficiency. And again, third grade is that foundational grade where they have their gateway into those high stakes testings and assessments. And it can not be the end all be all, but if we don't catch those learners up and those readers up where they need to be, it could be. But anyway, let's keep going. Number two, reading and personal development programs, fostering a love for reading and self-improvement. So merging those two together. So an example of that could be the Read and Lead program, where students read personal development books and discuss growth mindset principles. Oh, I love how those two are merging together. Here's another one, AI and digital literacy tools. So personalized reading interventions using adaptive technology. An example of that would be a rural school using AI-powered tutoring apps to provide individualized reading support, which will in turn help close those learning gaps. So here's a prompt for you all that I want you to listen and reflect and think about. So parents and educators, what's your favorite literacy resource or book recommendation for struggling readers? Do you have any suggestions for those? Have you used them in your own homes? Have you used them yourselves? Have you seen your schools or K-12 stakeholders' suggestions? That would be nice for you to share. So here is a thought-provoking question for you guys. It's around our April showers discussion, and it's around our new blooms. So if AI could support literacy instruction in one way, what should it do? Something to think and ponder. So we have personal development and mindset, nurturing growth beyond the classroom. It's about building self-confidence and growth mindset in students. Schools incorporating journaling, vision boards, and goal-setting workshops to develop student agency. A school in Atlanta uses morning affirmations and mindset coaching to boost student confidence. And again, I'm going to talk about that when I talk about this next point in just a minute and how I'm utilizing that in my reading, in my 3-5 reading remediation program that I have right now that I'm facilitating in a school in my former district that I taught in as a full-time classroom teacher. Personal development through literacy. Loving again, integrating these two together, personal development and literacy. So integrating motivational books, podcasts, and mentorships into the curriculum. So here's an example. A middle school students reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens as part of SEL instruction, which is social and emotional learning. And I know there's a lot of controversy around that term, just like the other term DEI, which is diversity, equity, inclusion. But listen, lay aside the political rah-rah. SEL, just in a nutshell, is just good old-fashioned having students to think about who they are, how they thrive in those five components of social and emotional learning. Okay, we do it all the time. It's not going to change. Teachers, good teaching practices are going to incorporate that. But anyway, so that is kind of marrying those two together instead of just talking about the components of a social and emotional awareness and learning. It is integrating it and embedding it within resources and tools and facilitating it in a way that aligns with how students can grow in their personal development. I would also like to add, that is one of the strategies that I use when we're talking about their reading data, having them to talk about it, having them to set their own goals, having them to think about, hey, what is one or two actionable steps that I can do in my personal development to reach my reading goal? So we're talking about developing communication and advocacy skills, teaching students to speak up for their needs, lead discussions, and navigate transitions, for instance, from elementary to middle school, to middle school, to high school, and I will even add from high school into real world post K-12. Here's an example of that. Schools implementing student-led conferences where children present their academic goals to parents and teachers. I absolutely love that idea. Or have a guest speaker come in like a student success coach or youth mentor discussing how mindset development impacts literacy and learning. So here is something that I want you guys. This is a challenge. All right, you ready? So here we go. What's one personal development lesson or book that changed your life? Okay. How often do schools teach personal development alongside academics? All right. That may be some questions that you will ask your K-12 children in your home, whether they're your children, godchildren, adopted children, children that you've taken on, that you mentor, that you're the mother and or father figure for. What are they doing in the schools? What are they doing in your schools? That will be something for you to ask. You know, maybe sometimes they don't share because they're not asked. A lot of times if you ask and they really have time to scoff down a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or milk in the evenings, then they'll tell you what they did in their day. What can we do as it pertains to family engagement, watering the roots of student success? So beyond parent-teacher conferences, and again, this all is in alignment with April showers bring not just showers and problems, but new blooms and fresh ideas in K-12. So how can, what can we do beyond parent-teacher conferences? Creating literacy-rich homes, which would have schools hosting parent literacy nights with hands-on strategies for reading at home. An example of that is a program providing free book bundles and training parents on interactive reading activities. What can we do to bridge the home-to-school literacy gap by leveraging text? We can do leverage text messaging and do a text message-based coaching for parents to reinforce lessons. I think that is phenomenal because a lot of times you might can't reach parents or guardians through on the phone, but a lot of times they are very responsive to text. They like something that they can quickly look over and not really have to respond back to or chit-chat with. So maybe think about that in your practices as a new bloom practice. So an example is a family engagement program that sends daily reading tips and conversation starters via text. What about a virtual family coaching and advocacy helping parents understand school expectations, literacy milestones, and advocacy tools? What does that look like? An example would be online workshops teaching families how to access free literacy resources and tutoring. What else could your school do? They could have a guest speaker come in, a family engagement coordinator, or parent advocate sharing how schools and families can collaborate for better reading outcomes. So here is another question that I want you to think about. I want you to think and ponder and reflect. What's one thing your child's school has done to help families with literacy? How confident do you feel supporting your child's literacy at home? Is it A, very confident, B, somewhat confident, or C, not confident at all? And listen, there's no judgment here. It's just a question, just something for you to think about. And I will tell you, and this is just a secret between you and I, if you chose not confident at all, that is totally fine. No better time than to start with the very first day of new beginnings for April. So, future of literacy and family engagement. So there's new growth in education. What's next? Emerging literacy and engagement trends. schools adopting year-round family engagement through literacy coaches and peer parent mentors. I absolutely love that one. More multilingual literacy resources to support diverse families. Here is one. Global literacy models we can learn from. Finland's play-based reading strategies. Why early reading isn't rushed but results in higher literacy rates. Canada's family literacy programs. Schools providing books, reading guides, and incentives for families. Oh, I just love how that's all in alignment. Such a great partnership there. Some action steps for educators and parents. Three things you can do this month to strengthen literacy and personal development at home or in the classroom. Something for you to think about. So here's another one. What's one change that would transform literacy education? Something for you to think about, okay? So you can post your boldest prediction for the future of reading education. You can go on your social media. You can come on my LinkedIn page, and I would love to hear from you. So what are some key takeaways that we have here for our April challenge as it pertains to April showers that brings new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education? What's one thing you'll do this month to help literacy bloom in your home or school? Here's some call to action takeaways, okay? Focusing on literacy and family engagement within the April showers bring new blooms and fresh ideas in K-12. So here's some foundation for growth. Just as April showers nourish plants, family engagement and literacy provides the essential nutrients for a child's academic and personal growth, okay? Early literacy development supported by family involvement is a strong predictor of future academic success. That means you come to the table with how you can and what you can. It's optimizing at your best, okay, with what you have. Bridging the gap with effective family engagement programs, which between the home-school connection, creating a consistent and supportive learning environment. These programs should be accessible, culturally sensitive, and tailored to the specific needs of the community. Here is a big one, guys. Cultivating a love of reading. Focus on activities that foster a genuine love of reading rather than just focusing on academic skills. That's one of the things that one of the district that I'm serving in, we used to have AR. I love AR. But they wanted it to be more than just about reading and then taking tests for points and things of that nature. They wanted it to just be simply for the love of reading. So I'm on the fence about that. I think that it should be both, but I also think that it's a good way to encourage students to hold themselves accountable, kind of compete against themselves and maybe even others. But this can include shared reading, storytelling, and creating opportunities for children to explore books and other forms of literacy. Empower families to be active participants in their children's education by providing them with resources, strategies, and ongoing support. So this includes workshops, family literacy nights, or academic or curriculum nights, and regular communication, which I've seen a lot of, like even with my grandchildren using Class Dojo, between teachers and parents. Diverse approaches recognize that family engagement can take many forms and be open to diverse approaches that meet the needs of the family. So there's no one size fits all, okay? And you shouldn't judge it as such. So before we get ready to get out of here for today, let me give you my thought leadership as an education enthusiast, consultant, and coach around April showers bring new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education. So, all right, here are some closing thoughts, channeling your voice, channeling my voice as an education enthusiast, consultant, and coach, reflecting on April showers, bring new blooms, fresh ideas in K-12 education. As we wrap up our exploration of these new blooms in K-12 education, I'm left with a profound sense of optimism. Just as April showers nurture the landscape, the innovative ideas we've discussed are cultivating a richer, more vibrant learning experience for our students, or I would like to refer to them as scholars. My work as an education enthusiast, consultant, and coach has always been driven by a belief in the transformative power of education. And what we've seen here, from groundbreaking initiatives addressing students' needs, mindset, family engagement, to the vital connection between literacy that reinforces that belief. These fresh ideas aren't just fleeting trends. They represent a fundamental shift towards a more holistic, responsive, and equitable education system. We're witnessing a movement that acknowledges the whole child, recognizes the importance of community partnerships, and embraces the potential of technology to expand access and opportunity. However, these blooms require careful cultivation. We must remain committed to sustained innovation. That means continuously seeking and implementing evidence-based practices that address the evolving needs of our students, equity and access, ensuring that all students, regardless of background, have access to high-quality education and support, collaborative partnerships, fostering strong partnerships between school, families, and communities to create a unified support system, and empowering our wonderful educators, providing teachers with the resources, professional development, and support they need to thrive. As we move forward, let's remember that education is not merely about imparting knowledge. It's about nurturing potential, fostering resilience, and cultivating lifelong learners. Let's continue to embrace these new blooms and work together to create a brighter future for all our students. I want to say thank you. And I want to say, walking in my passion and purpose, sharing my thought leadership around K-12 topics, I have an ask, a brief call to action, such as share your thoughts and insights on these topics with us on social media using the hashtag #LetsTalkK12 and share the show to your network, family, and friends if this show resonates with you. So I want to thank you again for joining us on Let's Talk K-12 Education here on the Realizing Your Potential TV network. We are grateful for your time, insights, and dedication to exploring what truly makes a difference in the lives of our students, educators, and communities. Your commitment to understanding and advancing K-12 education is what drives meaningful change. Together, we're shaping the future of education, one episode, one conversation at a time. I'm wishing you to continued success and inspiration as we break the school-to-prison pipeline for every learner together. This is Tanisha Langley, your education enthusiast, thought leader, and show host for Let's Talk K-12 Education on Realizing Your Potential TV network. You can find us here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we are empowered through education. So I want to say over and out and toodles for now. Until next Tuesday at 7 p.m., have a great and wonderful week.